Hi, Piqué, thank you so much for taking time for this interview. I was super excited to have you on board. To start, can you talk a little bit about the company and the title, and what's your role currently?
Misha, thank you. Thanks for taking the time as well. This is an absolute pleasure. This is Piqué. I am currently the Director of Security Assurance and Compliance in at TripActions. TripActions is an end-to-end business travel and business spend management platform where it's a complete modernized solution for business travel and business expense management. We are a SaaS-first platform with over 5,500 customers. I currently head the Security Assurance and Compliance Group, where I manage and drive all things related to security compliance, certifications, cloud compliance, security maturity assessments, third-party risk management, business continuity, data governance, security policy awareness and training, and all of the security governance activities. So I have a pretty major portfolio in the overall security organization, security and trust organization here, where I also serve as a single point or a single voice for security to and with our customers through our customer trust function as well.
I see. That's awesome. And can you talk a little bit about kind of your career arc? Like, how did you get into cybersecurity?
Absolutely, Misha. So I've been, I've had a progressive career of over 15 years in security now. I am originally from India, where I graduated as an engineer in electronics and communication. Mm-hmm. And then, as most folks do back in India, I started my first job as a software developer or as a programmer. Mm-hmm. 6 months into this job, I realized that this is... I would say I was fortunate enough to realize that this is not something that I wanted to excel my career in. For some reason, I just didn't feel like I wanted to do this for the rest of my life. It was very clear to me. So I started looking at, kind of what else, right? With the kind of my educational background and my aspirations, what else could I do? So I started working in a public bank right after that, a pretty large public bank in their data center. This was back in the day before the cloud transformation and all of that. I was working in their data center, being part of a pretty small security team there, information security team there. And I got to touch on a lot of things as a result of that, right? From all things from network security, this was banking, so there was security compliance, governance, mm-hmm. there's regulatory, there's PCI compliance back in the day, all of that stuff. And then disaster recovery and all of that. So long story short, I got an opportunity to, in that team, I got an opportunity to look at various domains of security. And they've developed a lot of interest in this area because I'm the kind of personality that loves to learn on a continuous basis, and I like to be challenged on a constant basis. And I felt like this profession offered me a platform and an avenue to actually satisfy my intellectual curiosity. So that's how I started there. And then I didn't really look back. My next gig was with Pricewaterhouse as a security consultant, working with Fortune 100 companies, advising them on security programs and security best practices around GRC and also technical security stuff. And then I was fortunate enough to land with a job in Adobe, where when Adobe was around a $30 billion business, this was back in 2011, and I got to ride a wave in Adobe, where I grew as part of the security team through several levels when the business was growing from when the business grew from $30 to $300 billion business. So I was part of that rapid growth in Adobe once Adobe had decided to move to the cloud and from desktop shrink wrap offering to the cloud and sell mm-hmm. services in the cloud. I was part of the team that actually built the security program to support that massive business disruption and transformation mm-hmm. and growth. I've also architected the Adobe Common Controls framework, which is open source now. And I also ran an office for Adobe's then CISO, to run very strategic security initiatives where we were driving a lot of security best practices and learnings from, you know, events and incidents and all of that, and execute this company-wide. And when I say company-wide, I'm talking about a company of 30,000 employees here with massive, massive cloud footprints, right? So that was a very rewarding and a great experience. Having done that for 9 years, I developed a team of leaders. Things were kind of self-sufficient. It was a team of agile leaders and basically with a self-sufficient mindset. And then it was time for me to look for something else. And then I did look for opportunities overall in the Valley here, and I took up this opportunity here at TripActions. A few reasons I took up this opportunity was the growth trajectory that this company is in, and the key role that security can play here, since it's a B2B platform, and the emphasis that this company puts on overall customer trust, right? And an opportunity to create something from scratch again, which I did in Adobe, and it's a very rewarding experience. I mean, I'm a builder, so I love doing that stuff. So yeah, this has been my career journey overall so far. Yeah,
but that's awesome. It sounds like you exposure to financial services, rapid growth at a large organization, and rapid growth kind of a little bit smaller venture funded. I imagine it's venture funded startup, but we certainly saw the name in the news. So it's an exciting career trajectory. So for someone who's just looking, maybe a junior professional or someone who's looking to make this transition from kind of IT to cybersecurity, someone who may be in college, like, what would be your advice? What would you say? I wish 10 years ago, 15 years ago, I focused more on that or this. What would you say to those folks?
Well, that's a great question. Yeah. Let me start off with something exciting here, right? Cybersecurity industry right now is hotter than ever. Okay, let's start off with that, right? That's an incentive right there, right? There are not enough people. If there is a particular job, if there are 10 jobs, there are just 5 people who can actually fill those positions. Okay, so it's almost a 1:2, 1:3 ratio. Let's start off with that. And the business, cybersecurity business, is just booming. If you look at the startup world, where the kind of funding that's going on right now, the kind of technologies that are getting disrupted, the business is just booming. So it's a great time to be in security. We need more people. We need more people, and we need to fill all these jobs and build more secure, resilient, environments and cultures in both corporate and the public and the private sector. Let's start off with that. And then from an advice perspective, I would say that if your personality type is a one that is constantly want to be intellectually curious, and you have a big appetite for learning, and you constantly want to learn, then this is the place to be, because your curiosity will get satisfied, definitely get satisfied here, because technologies change, practices change. Think about all this big waves of transformations that have happened, right? From initial desktop days to selling products in CDs, then cloud services. Now we are getting into microservices, containers, containerized packaged applications. If you look at the tech stack, we're getting into multi-cloud and all of that. And then when all of these transformations happen, there is a security wrapper around all of these, and the technologies that change. You constantly got to evolve and learn. So that's what I meant by, you know, if you are intellectually curious and want to learn continuously, this is a great place to be. And from an advice perspective, what I would say is cybersecurity is very diverse. What I mean by that is there are so many domains, right? There are so many domains in security, and each of them are very deep, right? So that's another thing that you would want to decide, right? Do you want to be a kind of a generic practitioner where you eventually want to move into like security leadership roles? And if that's the case, then try to get different, try to dive a little deep into each of these domains, right? Try to get a mixture of these experiences every year or two, rather than going too deep into one domain. But if you are a cybersecurity engineer, engineer and you love being an engineer, and if you are, say, an offensive cybersecurity person and you love going deeper and deeper, then focus on that stuff, right? So you got to decide. I think that self-realization is very important, that if you want to climb the leadership path or if you want to climb the engineering offensive track, right? Based on that, you can decide what you want to do. And lastly, I would say that we are in this COVID and virtual world, but in-person connection, in my opinion, is super, super important. I have a lot of certifications. I have a CISA, CSSP, I'm PCI, I've been a PCI ISA in the past, and I have an ISO lead implementer certification, and I have some risk oriented certifications as well. But and then I do read a lot as well, but a lot of the key or the most important things that I've learned from my life is from my mentors and from people that I talk and through conversations, right? So identify where you want to go, and based on that, try and get some mentors that that can actually guide you. And again, mentorship, in my opinion, is a relationship of mutual benefit, right? There has to be mutual benefit. So think about it in that direction. And then, I think these are some of the advices that I would give.
So basically, it's pick something you can focus on so you don't spread yourself too thinly. And then obviously learning is important, but often you learn from other people, can maybe more senior people, you could be mentors. That could be an interesting angle to develop as well. That's awesome.
One of the reasons I say that is the learnings that can happen through experiences is, in my opinion, the most valuable, right? You cannot learn that through a certification. You cannot learn that through a book, right? So either get those experiences, get those diverse experiences, or get hold of people who have those experiences and learn from them, right?
You can learn from your mistakes, but it's better if you learn from someone else's mistakes, right? And also, talking to someone with more experience gives you a shortcut instead of trying to figure out on your own and running into 10 different paths that can say, well, those 9 paths don't work. Just go this way. It will just save you time. Both kind of from professional standpoint and from career standpoint as well, I would imagine. I was wondering, I mean, from your vantage point, you see kind of the landscape both on the kind of the professional, on the corporate side, and kind of from the various challenges that are facing the profession. What do you think will be the top 3 challenges in 12 months from now?
That's a fantastic question. I keep thinking about this all the time, and this this changes every year, or I would say every 6 months, in my opinion, right? The first thing I would start off is, if you look at the overall business landscape right now, all businesses are moving at a super, super rapid pace, especially if you're looking at the VC-funded startup ecosystem and even public companies, right? Unless you're disrupting at a very, very rapid pace and really, really disrupting the product and the domain that you're in, you don't really have a place in the market, right? What that translates to is that that security business leaders that are managing security leaders right now and in the future, I think this is where the industry is going, expect the security leaders to really, really enable the business. Okay, when basically build a security function in a way that business can innovate at this pace, the product innovations can happen at this rapid pace, and at the same time, we keep everything secure, okay? And you might have heard of this term called shifting security to the left, right? So this is kind of in alignment with this overall concept of what I'm talking about, right? So this is definitely, I feel like, the number one challenge. And it's not just a challenge. I feel like it's an opportunity. I think this is where the next wave of security leaders are built, in my opinion. People who embrace this mindset are going to be very successful in the security domain in the near future.
Yeah, well, it's kind of like sometimes business leaders view cybersecurity as people who say no, like, no, we cannot do this. And it's kind of transitioning from that mindset to, we can, but we need to done in a certain way, in a proper way.
Exactly.
Not saying no, but it's kind of a qualified yes. So how to enable transformation, not be a roadblock on the way towards transformation. I think that's
Okay, and not just that, and then build the security processes and tooling in a way where human, even if there is a human error, right, there has to be a catch-all, right, and that's shifting left in my opinion. So you're right, absolutely right. I think from a function of saying no to saying yes with the caveats, but also come with a solution on how we can make that happen and enable the business. Yeah.
But as far as threats, like what do you see the, so there was number one kind of thing that would keep people up at night, but in terms of threats or challenges, what do you think will be the most prevalent next 12 months? Not necessarily right now, but like looking out in the future.
Yeah, I feel like two things are in top of mind in most security leaders from a threats perspective. Definitely ransomware and nation state attacks, depending on how mature your company is. That is in everybody's mind. That keeps pretty much every security leader up at night, thinking about how to defend against these and building all the processes to defend against these. And the second one is supply chain, right? With the common trend that we are noticing towards the last part of the year for the last couple of years, right? With SolarWinds and now Log4j, who knows what else is going to come in 2022. So this has been a common trend for a few years now. So These are the two things definitely, right? And then when something like a SolarWinds and a Log4j happens, that has a lot of cascading effects, right? I mean, there will be a lot of attack vectors that we'll see as a result of all this. We still see attack vectors from, say, SolarWinds. It's going to happen for Log4j. How are you going to defend against this, right? So if I have to summarize, I would say, ransomware, nation state attacks, and supply chain. These are the three things that are top of mind.
Makes sense. Kind of switching gears a little bit. I know you joined Affinia fairly recently, but you understand the concept. So from the developer position and from kind of what you experienced thus far, if you were to say, I love Affinia because, like, how would you finish that sentence?
I would say meeting of the minds, right? You bring like-minded professionals together, and what else can a security leader ask for? I think it's, let's put it this way. If I were to kind of connect with all these security leaders in your network, I had to individually reach out to them either through LinkedIn or through some other channels and then build that network. It would take me months, but you just give me an inventory where, it's out there where I can share my knowledge. It's a platform to share my knowledge, network, and mutually grow and help each other out and grow our profession as well, right? And also grow our profession overall. I'm a big proponent of that. I think we all need to play a role in growing our profession to kind of make room for the next wave of talent. Yeah,
absolutely. And if there is one thing that you wish we had, because we have a lot of things that we're currently working on for 2022. But it's still kind of fairly flexible landscape. What is one or two things you wish, as a community of cybersecurity executives, Affinia had that you think is maybe missing right now?
Great question. I would say a mentorship portal, right? And keep me honest if you have it. Maybe you have it. I don't know. But like a mentorship portal, right, where if these junior level security folks or people in IT wanting to get into security want to find a mentor and the type of mentor they want based on their aspirations. And it, as I said, it needs to be a mutual relationship, right? It cannot be one way. Mentorship always in my way, the way I've thought about mentorship is it's a relationship of mutual trust and benefit. So yeah, that would be a great thing to have. Yeah.
Interesting. We certainly kind of, we look at this and it's not the first time we're hearing about this. So it's certainly something that will bubble up as we're considering our plans for 2022. That's awesome. Well, Piki, I know we're coming up on time. I want to thank you so much for taking time for this. This was awesome. And certainly looking forward to kind of your continuous contributions to how we structure the community and how we can make it valuable for all the members. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Misha. I appreciate you taking the time as well. This was a lot of fun. Thank you.
Absolutely.